Here we go. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? It is a wonderful and beautiful sunny day. Hey, we forgot about that. So before I start anything, thank you, Jack. We had a plant sale here yesterday and raised some money that we're going to be sending to some places that need it. This was actually not put on by our church, but we helped out a little bit. But what I wanted to give to you now is that outside there are some plants left over. They're sitting just on this side of the church. If you walk around there, they're all kind of spread out there. And if there are things out there that you would like to have, go ahead and pick it up. There's a donation box there, I believe, and some of them have prices on them. So we'd like to, sell as many as we can to create as many funds as we can. I believe it's for the Everett Gospel Mission. We want to be an outreach church, right? We want to be talking to people. That's why we have these little red balls, and we're going to be having a class coming up again talking about that called the Sent class. So be looking for that. Probably going to happen. Don't know exactly when yet, but it is coming. Why is it so important that we share that? That's right. They need to hear it, because if they don't, that's right. So we're going to be talking today, this is one of the most important ones, right? The character of God, the character of man, and the answer to the problem. So you're going to say, well, what problem? We're going to talk about that. In John 3, 16 through 21, if you want to turn with me in your Bibles or your phones or however else you have it. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. How many of you have heard that one before? Can you say it? Say it to me right now. Okay, so if we read through that again, what is that called, people? What is that called? The gospel. The gospel is the good news. Okay, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Okay, so we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 21. In those verses are the character of God, and not completely though, but we're going to talk about the character of God and the character of man, which then creates a problem for man. We're going to be talking about that problem. And what is the solution of that problem? This is the gospel message, people, that we're supposed to be sending. I'm going to tell you this at the beginning, I'm going to tell you the same thing at the end. You need to believe it, you need to know it, you need to live it, and you need to share it. All of those things are important, right? Because it is the most important thing. This is the gospel message, the most important element. At some point, we're going to be talking about this. You are going to stand in front of God, and there's only two people in the world, those that are going to heaven and those that are going to hell. That's it. There is nothing more important than that. There are only two kinds of people. Those that are children of God, those that are not children of God. And there's going to come a day when Jesus comes back and all of us will be resurrected if we're not here still alive. Or if we're still alive, our bodies will be changed and we will stand in front of God and he will tell us where we're going to go. This is the most important thing for any human being ever. We have to know it. We have to believe it. We have to live it, and we have to share it. And that's what these verses are about. But in here, we're going to find out why exactly, because there are different people that think different ways about what is the reality of my life here on earth, and is it really that necessary that I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior in order to know God or go to heaven? Lots of different churches, lots of different religious movements, lots of denominations, if you want to call it. Lots of things in the world that say, no, we have another plan. No, there's another way. No, it isn't that necessary that I know Jesus. I just have to love God. Whatever it is, there is only one way. Jesus said, I'm the way and the life. There's no other way to the Father except by me. And so this is something we have to know. We have to believe. We have to live, and we have to share. Because there is a reality, people, and the reality is if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in this life, your eternity will be in hell. Now, you think, boy, this is really good news, Tim. You're telling John 3:16, that's the gospel message. God just loves everyone. No, he does. God has enough love for everyone. But they're only going to experience God's love when they become children of God. Otherwise, they're going to experience God's wrath, and that's the reality of life for humans. So we're going to be talking about that, because I want you to be very convinced that this is the most important thing that I can do in my life. So right there, we read John 3:16. This is the answer. See, that's the thing. is there really an answer? This is the answer. We read it right there in John 3:16. But the answer to what? The answer to the problem that if I don't have a relationship with God, my eternal destiny stinks. And he's going to tell us in here some of the character of God, some of the character of man, and why that has created this problem. And then what's the answer to the problem? The answer to the problem is men are going to perish, and if they want to have eternal life, there's only one way, and that's relationship with God. Otherwise, you're going to have an eternity without God. Right now, we can say, and we talked about this, and Jack talked about this, when we have accepted Jesus Christ, not only are we saved, but we are now indwelled by God, who helps us be transformed to the image of his Son right here and now, so that we can experience all the things that Jesus died for, that we're going to give us the kind of life that we can have right now today. Okay, but once again, this life is like the blink of an eye compared to eternity. And so if you don't have that Jesus now, when there are all kinds of benefits to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit and be transformed into the image of his Son so that I can find joy and peace and all the things that I need right here in this life, but eternity is the bigger picture. Where am I going to spend eternity? And why is it? I just don't understand this, God. If you're the God of love, why would you send anybody to hell? Well, Jesus was speaking here in John 3:16 through 21, and if you remember back, he was having a conversation with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was one of the head of the Jewish nation who was supposedly the chosen people of God, and there he is, and he's hearing this Jesus character, and he's come into town, into Jerusalem, and he's saying, hey, we're hearing all these things that you're doing, and you've created things, and you've had miracles and turned water into wine, and there's all kinds of things that you're doing. We know you're a teacher. We know you're a rabbi. We know you're from God, because nobody that's not from God could not do the things you're doing. And so I know that, but what in the world are you doing here, and why are you giving us a different message, a message that's different from the old covenant, the Jewish way of becoming chosen of God? Okay, Jesus has said God had this plan all along, and I'm out there telling you, no longer is it good enough to follow the old covenant. Now you need to accept me as God's Son, and that the Son of God will be raised up like the serpent, meaning he's going to die on a cross. And if you don't accept this, then you are no longer a child of God. In fact, God will close your eyes, and you will not see it. And so Jesus is there with this new message that the only thing that's going to matter from this point on is that you accept me as Lord and Savior. Other than that, you're going to spend eternity in hell. And so God is giving his character here, and we're going to see the character of God, the character of man, and then the answer, which is actually at the beginning of this passage, the answer to the problem that man has. So let's read it through. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have an eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, because the world was already condemned, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Now, what is it saying here? We're going to get to this a little bit later, but when he says God so loved the world, does that mean he just loved everything? The entire world? Well, he did create it, and he is a God of love, but are we going to experience God's love? That's the question. And so in verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. Believes in who? Jesus, right? If you believe in Jesus, this is what Paul is telling Nicodemus. You have to believe in this Jesus character. And if you don't, you're condemned. But whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. You see, that's what Jesus was telling people in his ministry here. I'm here. I am God incarnate, come to this world to bring you salvation through my death as I pay the cost of your sins. And this is the judgment. See, there is a judgment. The light has come into the world, but the people love the darkness. See, this is where we're talking about the character of man. Is man really in trouble with God without Jesus? Well, you know, we're all born. If we live a good life, we're going to be fine. No. And this is the judgment, for the light has come into the world, and that light is Jesus saying, I am bringing you the truth of the gospel message that is salvation for those who will accept it. But indeed, it says this instead, the light has come, but the people love the darkness. That's the character of men. They loved their darkness. They loved their sin. But then it says, they loved the darkness, but rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light. What God is trying to tell us here is every one of us were born in this particular case, hating the light, lest our works would be exposed. See, we all know we're sinful. We all know we do things that aren't right. We all know that we're doing things that God does not want us to do. And I think in deep down inside, we're trying to find a way to fix that on our own. Until we see this, the message is, you cannot fix this on your own. Whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. See, in God. What a passage here. We're seeing some things about man, we're seeing some things about God, and then we're seeing that those differences have created a problem for us. See, God is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. He's also a God of justice. And so we're going to look at those things and see, where is the problem? How do I fix the problem? And how is that going to ensure my eternal destiny? Okay, here's the problem. I'm going to read you this. If I have the right page, I will. I'm going to read you some scripture verses. One is in Hebrews 9, verse 27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, yeah, said this before, and after that comes judgment. Now, unless Jesus returns, I say this practically at every memorial service I give, unless Jesus returns, we're all going to be the subject of a memorial service. Everybody's going to die. Nobody's going to live forever. And what happens, what it says in Hebrews 9:27, just as it is appointed once for man to die, after that comes judgment. So what is that telling us? You have the time in this life to determine your eternal destiny. Some people will say, well, yeah, but, you know, I don't really think God's going to send everybody to hell or anybody to hell. And we'll probably get another chance. After we die, you know, there's going to be, we can go to God and say, God, are you there? Thank you. Okay. I didn't really understand who you were when I was alive, but now that I'm dead, I can see you're there. Can we fix stuff? You think that's going to happen? Not according to Scripture. Scripture says you have this life to deal with it and accept Jesus Christ to determine your eternal destiny. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in this body, whether good or evil. Now, you can take that out of context and say, well, what that really is telling me is if I'm just a good person in this body, then I will be able to go to Jesus and say, hey, take me into heaven. And is that what this one is saying? And what does it go back to John 3:16? What does it say? For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him. It says right way back in the first part of the John chapter 1, you know, those that received him and called on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It doesn't say that he gave the right to become children of God for anything else. Now, that was, of course, once the gospel message was delivered. Because were there people that were children of God before Jesus came? Yeah, there were. Okay. Now, I don't understand how all that works. How God then takes, of course, God's not bound by time, and he can take the payment that Jesus made on the cross for the sins of all people and retroactively put it on to those that were his before Jesus died. You would have thought maybe Jesus should have come right in the first century, but no, he didn't. It was about 4,000 years later. So we know that this is true, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And eternal life means not separation from God. Life is having a relationship with God, and death, metaphorically, is separation from God. And so when he's taking eternal life, that doesn't just mean, okay, I'm going to give you a body that lives forever and your life's still going to stink like it does here. No, I am giving you permanent relationship with me, with all of the bad things taken away and intimacy with me forever, along with all you other people that are children of God. So this is the problem, okay, and we're going to read this. I'm going to read you this one, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it, and from his presence the earth and the sky fled away, for there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, and each one of them, according to what they had done. Then the death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. See, that is the result of those who live in this life and don't accept Jesus Christ. And so I guess I'm just looking at the reality, and I know it's we have to understand that this is the truth. And like I said, we have to take this truth, we have to know it, we have to accept it, we have to live it, we have to share it. Because there are people out there, and I have these conversations, and this is these little ball things are talking about, you know, how can we're going to have this class and how to start conversations with people about Jesus, because if we don't find out, and one of the questions I asked him is, what do you think is going to happen when we die? And you'd be amazed, maybe you wouldn't, of how many different answers there are. Well, I don't think nothing exists then. We're just gone. So it doesn't really matter whether I accept Jesus Christ, because we're all just gone. There is no eternal existence. And then there's this one. God's a God of love. Everybody's eventually going to go to heaven. God might spank us a little bit after we die, but then eventually we're all going to end up in the same place. Because that's what God of love would actually do. He's a God of love. God says, I love you. I love everybody. And I know, you know, yeah, I have to pay the price a little bit, but I am going to go, because God would never send people eternally and punish me eternally. Well, that wouldn't be fair. I didn't sin eternally. Then there's numerous ways to get back into the relationship with God. You know, I like this religion, or I like this one, or, you know, I want to go through Buddhism. But they're all, and this is what you hear, they're all pathways that lead to God. And then there's this one, which you hear a lot too. Well, if I'm just good, it's like this, I'm on a balance, and if the good stuff is a little bit more than the bad stuff, then I'm probably going to, God's going to say, well, yeah, go ahead, come on in. Okay. If you're out there sharing the gospel with people, those are a lot of the answers you're going to get. What happens when we die? Well, I don't know. I just don't know. Or you get one of those other answers. But the problem is, people, there's a separation between man and God when we're born. And there's only one answer to fix that problem, and it's accepting Jesus Christ. And we need to know that, and we need to live that, and we need to share that. The character of God is going to be obvious in here if we look at this. So we'll go back. For God. See, there is a God. But the thing is, do you understand who God is? See, if you don't understand who God is and what his character is really like, then you can fall for the trap of, yes, God is just a God of love. And we just tell everybody, God loves you, and you're all, and he just wants you, and just come on in. Because God is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. And a God of justice. And what does justice mean? Somehow, justice has to be paid for. Okay. If there is a penalty, if I am truly just, I don't just say, well, you know, I'm feeling good today, that's okay, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. What does justice say? Nope. There was a cost, it has to be paid. There was a cost to the sin in your life. You were born broken, same as me. Same as all of us. We were born separated from God. Same as me. Same as all of us. There was a cost to be paid for that if we didn't want to spend eternity in hell. See, that's the justice that God has. Nope, I am not looking the other way. Nope, I am not accepting that sin. Nope, you are not coming in unless something pays for you. And here's what I did. I sent my son because I am a God of love. But if you want to experience my love and not my wrath, you better accept my son. Because that's the only way, folks. That is it. Yes, God is a God of love. Yes, God so loved the world, but he didn't so love the world. We would say, well, of course I love my kids. Of course I would, discipline them. Of course there might be tough love. Of course I'm going to give them responsibilities and make them work and do all this because I know what it takes to be a good parent and I'm going to do all the things that love them. But I would never, if they got angry with me, send them off into a hole and put them into a pit and burn them to death. And that's what some people think that God is saying here. I'm the God of love, therefore, in the end, everybody gets to come to me because I just love you all. God has as much love as he needs for everybody, but you're only going to experience it when you have accepted Jesus Christ. So God is a God of love. That is part of his character. And he loved us so much that he took himself, the God of the universe, came to us as a man. And not only is this a part I've said probably way too many times. Yes, he died on the cross. Yes, physically his body was dead. But he who knew no sin became sin. That is the thing. Yes, he had to die, and it was a metaphor for us to understand that was separation from God. Because I'm going to take all of your sins, and God, who is absolutely perfectly holy and just, accepted all of our sins and put them on himself. He who knew no sin became sin. That is the worst possible thing that could ever occur. And he did it for us because he loved us. He gave his only son. But, if you want to take advantage of that, there's only one way. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. For he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. I didn't send Jesus here to say, you're all sinful, you're all going to hell. I brought him here, says God, to give you the chance to find relationship with me and spend eternity in heaven with all my children and me. So God sent Jesus. He didn't send him here to tell everybody what he already knew is that you're all horrible, you're all broken, you're all sinful, you're all taken away from relationship with me. No, I sent my son in here to give you a chance to come back. Because God is not only perfectly loving, and he's perfectly sovereign. We see that. He says in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I am God, declaring the end from the beginning in ancient times, things not yet done, said, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all of my purposes. See, God is sovereign. He's here. And he has said, look, I'm in control of this, folks. You are not. That's the other part that we seem to fall into the trap. That I can somehow control the world, I can somehow control my life, and God is saying, I am in complete control. So know when I say you are condemned that it is true. Know when I say I have sent you my son to give you a chance that that is true and that nothing can change it because it is my purpose and my will, and I am totally in control. God is perfectly sovereign. God is perfectly loving, but he's also perfectly just. We see that. In John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but instead the wrath of God will remain on him. So that's we have to understand the character of God and believe it and accept it to understand why it is so badly that we need Jesus. If you just think my life is good and I've gone to church and I've sat in the pews and I've listened to a bunch of sermons and I eat and I read the Bible and I pray and everything, but I haven't really accepted this reality that God is completely in control, that he's a loving God, but yet that I am broken and I need Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. Doesn't matter how many good things you've done. It doesn't matter how hard you've worked trying to achieve it. You can never earn your way back into relationship with God. There's only one way. And then we see this, that God is a God of wrath. We saw that in John 3:36. And we saw it there in Revelation. Everyone's name who's not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. And see, people sometimes will say, well, yeah, God's just trying to, he's just trying to scare us into coming in. He's not really going to do that because he's a God of love. But unfortunately, you will experience the wrath of God without Jesus Christ, because there's no possible way you can earn it. And then the character of man we see in verse 19. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Why is that true? Why is this true? When he's saying whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned. Why is that? Because every one of us is sinful and broken. And it says, when we go back into, I think it's Ephesians there, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, made us alive together by Christ, for by grace you've been saved. And so where do we start our life? Dead. Isn't that funny? God, you're in control. Why don't you start us out at least all fixed and ready to go? Well, I don't understand that myself. I don't know why God wouldn't just say, hey, I'll just make a bunch of really perfect people, and then we can have this relationship the whole time they're there, and then we'll live together in eternity with heaven. Nope, he didn't do that. He made us. He made us in his image. He put us in the Garden of Eden, and man forevermore sinned and separated himself from God. Now, could have God stopped that? He could have. Don't know why he didn't, but he didn't. And so every human being after Adam and Eve was born broken in their relationship with God, sinful, and deserved every bit to go straight to hell. That is the reality. Understand, that's where every one of us started our life. That there was no hope for us in eternity, no matter how well we tried to accomplish all the things of this life, no matter how nice we tried to be, no matter how many things we tried to accomplish, it didn't matter. Only one thing mattered. Am I going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? And once again, as we all die and or Jesus returns, we're going to stand in front of the seat of God, and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, or welcome into the home, brother and sister, children of God. So the character of man is he's broken, and that's how all of us started our lives. And so what was the solution to this problem? Well, we go back to John 3:16. One more. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is the one we see everywhere. Everybody knows it. But how many people believe it? How many people live it? How many people share it? And those are going to be the things we have to examine in ourselves today as we go through and read these passages. God, you gave us a chance. God, I know we were born broken. I know we were sinful. I know I was separated from you. And yet here it is, and I don't want to take it for granted, Lord. I don't want to just think somehow I was a good person and that's why you chose me, or somehow I worked my way back into relationship with you because I just tried to be as nice as I could be. Lord, I had no chance, and the only chance I had was to accept your Son. Now, we could talk about that and how that happened. And there's different versions of what people think. In Titus 3, verses 4 through 6, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified, not by works, not by us, not by our own doing, but by grace, that we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, without the Holy Spirit, none of us would have accepted Jesus Christ. And so I know we have these little red balls here. And when we talk to people, I did that. Can we ensure that they're going to be coming into the family of God? No. Because it says right in there, it requires that the Holy Spirit enter the life and open the eyes and the hearts of people whom God has chosen to become children of God. But does he tell us, Tim, you need to fix the hearts and minds of people? I can't fix my own. No, but he does say, sow the seeds, Tim. Talk to people. Share the gospel, and I will do the rest and leave the outcomes to me. But it does require knowing it, believing it, living it, and sharing it. That's why we have this. That's why we're going to have this other class. And I'm getting closer to being ready with that, and I found some really good stuff to share. We're going to be talking about how do I start conversations with people. Because, see, almost all of what I'm telling you today, you already knew, if not all. This is the most popular piece of scripture in the world. Do you know it? Do you believe it? Do you live it? Do you share it? And that's really the conclusion of this. I can read through this and say, hey, you know, I knew all this way before that. You know, I knew I was sinful. I knew I needed to be saved. God, thank you for sending me your Holy Spirit. But are you sharing it? Are you living it? Are you believing it? Because, see, the world is out there with all kinds of other versions of how this could work. And Jesus said, sorry, folks, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody is going to get saved except by me. That's the reality of life on earth for humans. It's really nice when you know that. It's really nice when you've believed that. It's really nice that you're living that. But we also have to share it. And really, that's why John 3:16 is the biggest gospel passage out there, right? That if people are going to go out there and try to evangelize, you know, you see us, we've talked about this at ball games and everywhere else. If I just share this one thing, because this is the lesson, folks. John 3:16 is the lesson. It is the reality, except it doesn't go on to tell you, oh, and if you don't, now I'm not one when I share with people, and I'm not the kind of guy that sits out on the street corner and says, if you don't believe Jesus, you're going to hell. Okay, is it true? Yes. But if you're going to communicate with people, you have to connect with them, you have to love them, and then you have to share the message of salvation and say, look, God wants you to have a relationship with him. He has love, and he wants you to experience that love, and the only way you're going to experience that love is to accept Jesus. Nothing else is going to work. No other thought processes in your head are going to bring you to relationship with God. No other religions. No other way. And there's an eternal outcome to this that can be significantly horrible if you don't accept it. So then you need to know the truth. I just don't like to yell at people that, hey, believe this or you're going to hell. I've seen that. I don't think it works. We need to love people. We need to connect with people. God said, love everyone. Love your enemies, for crying out loud. Share the hope that you have with them, because without it, they're going to hell. Live it, believe it, and share it. Let's pray. Father, this is a message we've all heard. It's scriptures we've all read, probably. But there is something in here that tells us who you are, and that part of you is saying, without relationship with Jesus, we're going to experience the wrathful part of you instead of the loving part of you. But Lord, we don't want to take for granted the fact that if we are saved, and we do have that relationship with you, that it's not anything we worked for, it isn't anything we deserved, it was all by grace through faith, and the faith came from you. And Lord, that we need to share that message with as many people as we can, knowing that we don't control the outcome, but that as just children of God, because we love others, we want to see them come to you. Lord, help us. Give us that courage to get out and share what we have with others. And then you'll take the seeds that we cast away and bring into the family and bring that growth that's needed. So Lord, we want to trust you, but we also want to obey you. And so give us, Lord, the courage to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.